We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
It's WTIC. Let's talk to Craig next. Hey, Craig.
Todd, I don't have a point to make, but I have a couple of ruminations.
Okay.
So I'm in my mid-50s. And I was thinking as we were talking about public education in schools that...
By the way, we just have a minute, so talk fast.
All right. In 125 years, we've gone from one-room schoolhouses to $500 million public schools.
Yeah, crazy.
Are our kids any smarter?
Dumber, probably.
With a minute left, you know, I'll see you on Friday.
Go ahead. Do the next point. What's the other rumination?
Well, the next one is, you know, I was fortunate enough, I put my kids through private school, and anybody that's had the ability to do that or has gone through it themselves knows what the difference is, and it's stark. And just a quick example, I have relatives that live in Cherokee County, Georgia, and when my uncle turned 62, his taxes went from $7,000 a year to $650 a year because Cherokee was smart enough to recognize you're at the point where you've paid in enough, and we don't need any more from you.
And they were running a pretty lean system, if that's all they were charging. Thank you, Craig. 860-522-9842. We'll rant in an hour. We'll play the rants, that is. 751-4698. We're going to the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center right now. It's Mark Christopher. Hey, Mark.
It's Todd Feinberg. It's Todd Feinberg. Monday through Friday, 3 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
WTIC, good afternoon. Joining us now, James Rutkowski. He is the president of the Hartford Police Union. James, welcome back to WTIC.
Thank you, sir. How are you doing today, Todd?
I'm excited to have you here. I'm doing well. I'm back doing the radio after a few days off. It's fun to be back. I'm all charged up. And we have this thing, secondary offenses, this idea and a proposal for how we should treat people differently based on secondary offenses. But what is that?
The secondary offenses would be if you have your taillight isn't working, your brake lights are out, headlight, cracked windshield, your windshields are too dark, one of the mirrors or both mirrors on your car are actually not there. So you're looking at really an equipment violation when you're referring to the secondary stops.
Okay, but so a secondary stop on one of these secondary offenses means that you aren't pulling somebody over because their light bulb on their blinker isn't working. You would make that a secondary, and it's only addressed if the driver is pulled over for some other reason. Is that right?
That's where they want the legislation to go. What they're saying is the things that I listed, the equipment violations, we can now pull someone over for those.
Currently,
what they're looking to do is say, well, no, that's a secondary issue. You can't pull anybody over if those things are wrong with the motor vehicle.
Mm-hmm. And is this a good idea? Because as somebody who drives, it's before COVID And when police used to be out and about a lot more and used to pull people over more for things like not coming to a full stop at a stop sign, for example, or just you know, kind of rolling through quietly, you had to be on your guard, and there was a sixth sense. You were always making a judgment about whether there was a cop around, whether you were vulnerable, whether you had to super obey the laws in a way that was artificial and kind of silly. And now we get to just drive and we're left alone. And the story today in the paper, actually, about how many accidents there are and how many fatalities as a result of people driving faster from the roads being unsupervised for so long. Isn't it good? Isn't the basis of having an orderly society people perceiving that there is a risk of them being caught, even if it's only one out of every 1,000 violations where somebody actually gets pulled over and ticketed, that causes that one out of 1,000 causes all of us to be obedient?
It does. I mean, that's the theory of mere presence. Anybody can drive down Route 2 and think back 10, 15 years ago, and we all know where the troopers were going to be sitting. It was the normal spots. You slowed down. You didn't have to see them, but you knew, hey, you know something, it's a really good spot for a police officer to hide or, you know, make a good motor vehicle stop, and you obeyed the law.
So what's going on with this idea? First of all, where does it come from? If they would stop pulling us over for these secondary offenses, like your blinker isn't, one of the bulbs is out, so it's not working right, or one of your headlamps is just went out on you, which seems to happen whenever you are far away from home for the weekend, maybe. And if you ease up on those things, does that create more dangers? I get the feeling you object to this whole line of reasoning.
Oh, I do. And they've had, and you hear a lot of other police officers talk about, like Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy had, I think, a broken taillight or his brake lights didn't work, which led to him being captured. And then there was a lot of other examples where we find guns and narcotics, or there's someone in the car that has a warrant for murder. There's plenty of examples in that capacity, but I want to boil it down to even a more basic level. I look at government's role is to make sure the society in the community is safe. And how do we do that? The legislators pass laws, make sure our roads are policed, make sure that the roads are safe, the food that we eat, little things like that that actually are productive in society. And when we look at this, if you just want to take away all the aspect of policing from it, right now, the secondary stops. I could be driving around in my car that weighs 3,000 or 4,000 pounds, and that's just an SUV. That's not a truck. Drive around in that. I can have a cracked windshield that has an illegal tint on it. I could have one headlight working, the license plate stuffed in the back window, and my car could be relatively covered with snow, and I could be driving around in the city. Now, you put on top of that, what if there's inclement weather? What if it's raining? And what if it's dark? If your front windshield is tinted and it's raining and you're driving around with one headlight, are you really driving safely through your community?
So your argument is that you want these things to continue to be offenses for which somebody can be pulled over, and they need to be addressed in a timely manner. That what we're proposing to do, or maybe what we're doing already, is being so lax on the enforcement of the law that you're impacting safety.
Absolutely, impacting safety. That article that was in a newspaper today, was it 366 motor vehicle deaths in 2022?
Yeah.
I think 2023 was 323, and they put a disclaimer in there that they're not sure that all the statistics are in yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. Their legislators are there to make the community safe, and they want to have this political or this racial agenda saying, we can't have police officers pulling people over in black and brown communities because it is racial.
Well, because their skin color is causing them to be pulled over is the perception. We're talking to James Rutkowski. He's the head of the police union for the Hartford Police Department. Is this something you think is an accurate perception, that people are profiled and pulled over as a result of profiling?
No, absolutely not. Ken Barone and the state of Connecticut have been doing racial profiling, I believe, for over 15, maybe going on 20 years.
Have been studying it. Is that what you're saying?
Say it again, Todd.
They've been studying it for all those years? Is that what you're saying?
They've been studying it. When was the last time that a police department in the state of Connecticut was said, where they came down and went, hey, you are currently, and there's concrete evidence that you are targeting people because they are of a certain race? It hasn't happened. It actually, they went, the traffic stop data that the state police got wrapped up in, that data, those data sheets were actually supposed to go away, and they brought them back. And I don't know what the political agenda is for those, but we're not stopping people in the community. Our job is to look at certain behavior characteristics. If you're driving recklessly, if you have a tinted window and it's at night and it's raining, and you have one headlight on, can you really see?
I understand that, and that makes perfect sense. But are you really saying that there's no such thing as driving while black? It's such a universally held understanding of the black experience, it seems, that people are singled out and pulled over by police because of skin color.
That would be a foolish statement by myself if I said that, because we all know that people have their own personal bias. If you want to take the police departments on a whole and say that's a systemic issue within the police departments on a national level, I would say that's folly.
Okay, you're confessing that individuals might behave that way, but you won't find departments or particular cities that have a problem with that kind of police activity.
I don't believe you will. And you look at that and go, are there issues that are going to pop up? Yes, that's why we have the Internal Affairs Division. That's why we have the Civilian Police Review Board. That's why we had federal investigators, the DOJ, that come in and look at things like that and go, you know something? You know, there's a problem here, and they have to take care of it. Could it exist? Absolutely. That would be, again, you look at human nature, you look at people on an individual level. But for an individual ethos to permeate an organization to that level, and then have it as a systemic issue? No, not going on.
Okay, so let's just tighten this up, and because I feel like I've covered a little too much territory with you, and I want people to understand the purpose of the conversation. James Rutkowski is here from the Hartford Police Union. He's the president. In order to make clear that he thinks it's a bad idea to make certain offenses that would be relatively minor but would cause you to be pulled over, to have those no longer be a cause for a police officer to pull you over, you're against that because you think it makes the roads unsafe, and your job is to create safety. Is that right?
Absolutely, Todd. My job is to protect and serve. How am I supposed to protect a community and keep it safe if you're not going to allow me to make sure that there is a motor vehicle with proper headlights on and proper mirrors on it, and the front windshield isn't tinted to where you can't see as you're driving and your school is letting out, or there's a concert letting out and you're putting your community at risk? Our job is to make things safer. This law does not make anything safer. It puts our communities at risk. So what I look at that and go, what's the purpose of passing this law? What is the real motivation behind this?
You alluded before to that having something to do with a politically correct agenda on the part of politicians.
I believe that, because if you look at it and go, who in the community is safer when this law passes? And the answer to that is nobody. If your car is, you have a cracked windshield, tinted windows, you don't have any mirrors, you don't have any headlights, so you have one headlight.
Well, it's usually not a big accumulation. It's usually one thing you have, isn't it? Like people, somebody might be driving with a headlight that went out. And the idea is that, or the allegation, I guess, that's hanging in the air is that police officers will say that they noticed a taillight wasn't on or that a blinker wasn't working, and that wasn't really what was going on. We hear that said, that they pretend because they want to pull somebody over. But it seems to me if cops want to pull somebody over, it's usually for a good reason. Like your job is to create public safety. Your job is to watch out for bad guys, right? And if somebody's driving erratically or doing something that makes you want to pull them over, don't you think you should be able to pull them over?
I do. And you look at that and go, I don't know what color or ethnic background bad comes from, but I can definitely tell you as a police officer that bad behavioral characteristics of a suspect is what brings my attention to you. Those are the things that we look for. It doesn't have anything to do with, driving while black.
It's a really interesting point you're making, James, because it's a whole different framing of your job that you're proposing to us than what the other idea considers. You're saying you look for things happening that cause you to be needed, and you respond to those things that are happening. That might be somebody driving erratically. That might be driving a car that has equipment problems. Whatever it is, something impacting the public safety causes you to act.
Yes, sir.
That seems pretty simple.
It is simple. It's basic behavioral characteristics. What draws my attention to you? Well, I didn't pick you out. I had an argument one time when I arrested a gentleman on the South Green Park. There's 100 people in the park. And he went, well, you arrested me because I was black. I went, no, sir, I didn't. I said, there's 100 people in the park. And he said, well, yeah, there are. I said, what are the odds that I pick you out of those 100 people and you just happen to have a gun and narcotics on you? Well, the answer is because of your behavior characteristics and because I've been trained to pick out certain behavior characteristics, that is what brought my attention to you.
What was the behavior that made you, that tipped you off that he had a gun and narcotics on him?
Immediate change of direction.
When he saw you?
Absolutely.
Oh, cool.
Beginning to discard the heroin that he was selling.
that would do it. All right, we've got 1 minute left. Anything else you want us to know, James?
Something I honestly appreciate your time and the conversations we have. I think it's important that when something that comes up like this that puts the community at risk, that we have an avenue to call and talk about and have this in an open discussion, because I believe that's important.
Yeah, and I agree with you that the reason they want to go easy on legitimate policing is because it might catch people who don't want to be caught, and that would be bad politics for the people who are running things. I agree with you on that.
We want to keep the community safe. I look at the totality of this law, and nobody is safer if it passes. It is absolutely deplorable to put the community at risk with this law.
James, thank you so much. James Rutkowski is the president of the Hartford Police Union. Nice to have you here, sir. We'll talk again soon.
Todd, greatly appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
All righty, take care. How about that? 860-522-9842, BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. Mark?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor.
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Christopher is watching those drivers on the roads. What's going on, sir?
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah, baby. 860-522-9842. Let's talk to Ralph from South Carolina, who I think has been holding. We were talking earlier about education issues, and I believe Ralph has been holding about cell phones. Ralph, go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, interesting listening to you and your guests. But I have a question on that. A reason I called something else. If a black officer pulls a white driver over, is that racial profiling?
Well, racial profiling has to do with why somebody was pulled over.
Well, I would think, I don't care what color the cop is, if he pulls somebody over for an infraction and it's a proven infraction, it's pretty simple, isn't it?
Not necessarily, because there could be certain ethnicities who are facing higher rates of being pulled over for that offense, right? You could have 1,000 cars driving around with the same problem, and 20 people get pulled over, and all of them are from a minority ethnicity. That would indicate some kind of statistical anomaly going on that reflects an intent to target certain people.
Totally agree with that, but I don't think that's the case in 99% of the cases. But the main reason I called, Todd, was listening to Bernie Sanders talk about going to a 32-hour work week.
Oh, how delightful. Yes, everyone's working too much. The 40 hours is just overwhelming people.
When he was questioned by the reporter about businesses, now you want to raise taxes on businesses, now you want to go to a 32-hour work week, what are you going to do when these people all go out of business?
They don't care.
Hello?
You know, and communism is about arguing for something that doesn't exist, and trying to make that thing that doesn't exist the law of the land. You can argue for that to win votes, but you're arguing for something that we can look around the world and see doesn't work.
Right, and Bernie is definitely a communist. He calls himself a socialist. But the thing that he said 50 years ago, production has increased 400%. But what he didn't say was, how much did wages increase between 50 years ago and now?
Well, he also didn't argue how much less things cost if you even out the inflation, that it's so much cheaper to buy things because they're made so much more efficiently.
Exactly, and you're 100% correct. If you get a business and you come up with some technology that increases your production by X%, now you can lower your prices to your consumer.
There you go. And part of the reason you can survive such a big oppressive government and people are still able to exist is because of that, what you just described, Ralph, is that reduction in costs. Okay, let's get a traffic update. Mark Christopher, BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. Mark, what's happening? Is it busy?
Listen to the Todd Feinberg Show on the free Odyssey app. Download and like WTIC and follow Todd Feinberg today.
It is WTIC. Thank you for being here. 860-522-9842 is our number. What else do you want to know, huh? What else can I tell you? Do you need more information? The rant line number, 751-4698. What's that number for? That's to call in and leave a message on our service, which we call the rant line. The purpose of that is to let you call whenever you feel like it, record something, and then we play them for you during this period of time at 5 o'clock to 5:30, somewhere around there. That's the idea. And we would love to have you take part in that. So please do. We'll be playing those in about a half an hour. All right, hang on 1 second. I just want to play something for you that I think is wonderful. This is Robert Kennedy Jr., RFK Jr.
And I'll leave you with...
You have to ignore his scratchy voice. That's a disease. But, yeah, his voice is kind of broken. Neurological problem. But his ideas are extra rich to make up for it.
And I'll leave you with three thoughts. One is that any power that government takes from the people, it will never return voluntarily. Number two, every power that government takes, it will ultimately abuse to the maximum extent possible.
Ooh.
And number three, nobody ever complied their way out of totalitarianism. The only thing we can do is resist.
Wow, that's good stuff. Could you do me a favor, Roland, and dial up Juan Pablo? His phone number is there. I have a feeling we're supposed to call him. He's supposed to be here right now. 860-522-9842. We've got Rand from Broadbrook. Hello, Rand.
Hey, Mr. Feinberg. Happy Pi Day.
Wow, you're in a good mood today.
I am. You can't believe what a good mood I'm in today, Todd. Why don't you ask me about my mood today?
Okay. Why are you so happy?
I just got my assessment on my reval.
Oh, and the value of your house or your car or what?
Well, I found a striking irony.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that our state legislators and our municipal, so to speak, boards are wringing their hands because of the lack of affordable housing. And yet, my assessment on a house that's almost 75 years old went up just under 50%.
Yikes.
Now, my question is that because of inflation or because of COVID?
I don't know what it's, I can't tell you.
So how does reassessing...
Oh, hold on 1 second, Rand. Sorry, Roland. It's 754, the beginning. Okay. Sorry, Rand. Go ahead.
Damn that, Roland. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make here, Todd, is these assessments and reassessments, there is no rhyme, no reason. We listened to you as you went through the whole Enfield debacle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the same company in Broadbrook or East Windsor that has done these reassessments. And I'm seeing similar properties that have gone down 7% and like properties that have gone up 90%. And there is no rhyme nor reason for it, nor can they give us a rhyme nor a reason for it.
Wow. All right. So anything else you want us to know?
No, I just that basically, that once again, they're trying to have it both ways. They lament, whine and cry about the lack of affordable housing, but then jack up the value of those houses beyond any reasonable level.
It's government, Rand. They have it any way they want it because it's for them, everything we do. Joining us now is Juan Pablo Villasmil from Young Voices. He joins us every week. Juan, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Wait, what was the first thing you said? You're great?
I said I'm doing great. How are you doing?
You're doing great. Good. That's all I care about is you doing great. And it's great to have you here. Immigration from Venezuela is our topic. What is going on with Venezuela? Why is it the big thing in immigration to the United States?
Yeah, that's exactly what a lot of people are asking themselves. And the reason why it's complicated is because if you think about it, Venezuela has been not doing great for a while. So the push and pull factors in this equation are different. It's not like, oh, like they have a political crisis and then people are leaving. if it was solely about the political crisis, then people would have all left 10 years ago when the protests were skyrocketing.
There's something unique going on right now, you're saying, a new dynamic?
Yeah, there's an interesting dynamic which can be explained by, number one, the availability and the presence of these new influence networks and the ability that people have to cross the border now, which didn't exist back then. So the profile of immigrants from Venezuela has drastically changed in the last 10 years. So the people that immigrated from Venezuela before usually did not cross the border. They had to buy a plane ticket. They had to get a visa. They have to go through some sort of process.
They came through a tourist process.
Yeah. A variation of a tourist process or maybe political asylum, the traditional way that people ask for political asylum, which does not involve just crossing the border and then asking for it when you're in, you know? So the amount of immigrants coming from Venezuela through the southern border is something that concerns even, you know, those who are Venezuelan themselves and are here, you know, maybe they did the political asylum the traditional way and they went to South Florida, right? And now there, a lot of people are asking themselves, who are these people crossing the border illegally? And what we've realized is that lots of them, maybe not all of them, but lots of them are associated with gangs, Venezuelan gangs,
mm-hmm.
Including the Tren de Aragua gang, which is one of the most notorious gangs in the Western Hemisphere. They have around 3,000 members. And people in Venezuela don't like them. So I don't think Americans will like them either.
So there is a new level of violence that is being escaped? Is that what you're saying is the new dynamic?
No, the new dynamic is that there is like a set path for you to go from Venezuela via Colombia, Mexico, and all these countries into the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just like that existed before, but now, just so you get an idea, like now it's so easy. Like there's like agencies, just like travel agencies, right?
Where you can go buy a ticket to be smuggled into the U.S.
Yeah, it's super
easy. And they're reliable. They don't knock you out and take your money after you leave with them. They do the job for you.
Yeah, they do the job for you. And there's also a question of like why, like how is this happening exactly? Because it's not cheap. Like, you know, people keep talking about like, oh, like the poor people coming from Venezuela, they walk all their way to the US. Like that's not what's happening. Like you need at least, you know, more than $300 at the very least to get to the US. It's not cheap.
All right, well, like, that's not terrible, because sometimes we hear about people paying thousands.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like I'm saying, like the minimum.
Yeah,
like, you need to pay a lot of money
for the stand up the whole ride kind of. And so back up a little bit. We knew a lot about Venezuela. At least we used to hear a lot about it when Hugo Chavez was president. And then he died, I don't know, like 10 years ago or something. And what I thought, it's a wealthy country and because of oil. Right. And the problem is just bad management. But why can't they take the oil revenues and make a stable country? Do you know why they're in the disarray that they're in?
Oh, man. Yeah, it's a combination of things. Like, number one, it doesn't help that they drastically expanded social programs so rapidly.
Okay, and, you know, so they wanted to, they felt like they needed to calm the masses by promising gifts.
Yeah.
And they can't afford the gifts.
Yeah, you'll get a lot of people, especially if you go to college in the U.S. and you take a class in Latin America, they'll attribute this to bad management or something. But yeah, it's socialism did play a role. Like if you drastically expand government and government becomes unaccountable, then some problems are going to arise from that.
So it's the same game they're playing here.
Yeah. I would say that aside from that, which is, you know, easier to notice, there's also a role being played by, let's say, the new elites. Like, the people that took over are not, like, just, oh, it's just the government got bigger. It's also that they replaced a well-educated elite for a new elite. And this new elite was particularly not apt for some of the roles that they took control over.
Are these so, thugs? You know, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So, like, the oil industry, for example, mm-hmm. when they nationalized the oil industry, it's not just like a problem of like, oh, like competition. And, you know, if it's only one industry, what happens to innovation? It's not just that. It's also an issue of like the people that were the best prepared to take control of those companies and lead them usually had like U.S. education and so on. And then when they took over, they just gave those roles to a bunch of randoms, you know.
Okay, so you have a really badly run country. You have a giveaway government that feels it needs to bribe its citizens as if it's the United States or something, spending money they don't have. And and then you have a disintegration of order, which I guess started back when Chavez was still around, that's been continuing. And are there any other issues that are and the gangs. So you have a lack of security on the streets and stuff, and that's causing people to pour into the U.S.
Yeah, but there is what I want to make clear here is that Venezuela has been in not the best place for a while. Mm-hmm. You know, like the first let's say the big migration wave that we saw was probably 2012, 2014, and then you know. A little before that, some people left, but not a lot. So why now is the question. And that's the reason that, you know, people get a little, you know, influenced by conspiracy theories. And they say that the Venezuelan government's 100% behind this and they're funding this. I can tell you with all the certainty of the world why exactly the immigration levels are so high now. But what I can spot is that it makes no sense. It really doesn't. Like, if again, I grew up in Venezuela for a large portion of my life. I went back to Venezuela for the first time in 6 years, very recently. Mm-hmm. Venezuela is, again, this is not to credit Maduro or anything, but Venezuela is doing less bad today. It's not doing good, but you know,
it hasn't been a straight run down. It's leveled off. Yeah, things like, aren't so bad right now.
And part of the reason for that is because everyone left. So like,
all the bad guys came here.
Yeah. So if everyone leaves the country, then it's kind of easier to control. And that doesn't mean that the government's doing a good job. That just means that the government has like less things to handle.
Yeah.
So the people that are living in Venezuela now, if they really wanted to leave, they would have left before. Mm-hmm. You know? The push conditions are different. The conditions that exist today are solely, I would say, mostly pull. Like, people are leaving to the U.S. mostly because the Biden administration is welcoming it.
Because of the invitation the U.S. has sent out, the engraved invitation, saying, come on in.
Exactly.
We love you.
100% that. Like, wow. more than ever before, this has nothing to do with, oh, the government, they're persecuting people. Not really, you know, like, if you were persecuted by the Maduro regime, you were persecuted 10 years ago, too. So, why now?
Is it a particular problem for us as opposed to people from other countries, or are the Venezuelans more easily assimilated than others? And we have just a minute for you to answer that question.
I don't know. In some political ways, I think that, you know, you can make the argument that Venezuelans lived through socialism and therefore have an appreciation of some of the liberties that the U.S. grants, kind of like the argument people make about people that lived, like, you know, grew up in the Soviet Union and so on.
Uh-huh.
At the same time, there, you know, it's complicated business. Like, there's issues of language, issues of how much is too much. It also depends on where they're moving. Because, you know, there's regions of the U.S., and I say this, you know, as my name's Juan, right? So I guess it's, like, not controversial if I say this. But there are regions of the U.S. that have, like, sudden, drastic changes demographically. And that presents a problem, like a community problem, not necessarily a government problem. I know of like cities in Virginia, at least, that in less than a generation, in a period of 20 years, just like thousands of immigrants come over and kind of take over a town.
Yeah, it can be a problem. All right, we've got to run. We're out of time, Juan. So tell people how to find you online.
Yeah, you can find me online at RealJPVillasMill on Twitter. And then you can Google my name, Juan Pablo Villasmill, and you'll find me somewhere.
Juan Pablo, great to talk with you, sir. I thank you for the insights that you offer and for being such a smart young guy. Thanks for being here. Juan from Young Voices, Traffic Time. News Time, BPS Lawyers Traffic Center, Mark Christopher.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.